is the Talking Tigers podcast, presented by the Alabama Department of Public Health. Don't wait. Vaccinate. Protect yourself and others against COVID and flu. For more information, visit alabamapublichealth.gov/IMM. Here's Andy Burcham with another Talking Tigers podcast.
He came to Auburn from Oxford, Alabama, as a high school All-American. Terry Hanley played with Pat Sullivan, Terry Beasley, and James Owens. Hanley rushed for 1,534 yards on 343 carries in his career on some of Auburn's most memorable teams. In part two of this podcast, Hanley talks about the first African-American scholarship player at Auburn, James Owens. He also talks about playing on the 1972 Auburn Amazons and Punt Bama Punt. Terry Hanley is featured in this Talking Tigers podcast, brought to you by Alabama Public Health.
Played a violent brand of football.
Whoo, didn't we?
You did, too.
Well, I'm telling you, but I ran out of bounds. I mean, you can't hit. That's what I told Terry Beasley. You wouldn't be laying in that bed if you'd run out of bounds like I told you to.
Where does your clothing style come from? You're always so well dressed. Where does that come from, Terry?
Well, my mother being into the Belk's retail business.
Right.
But Mr. Sewell and I were big buddies. And Mr. Sewell, I don't mind telling you, they still make my clothes today. I get about anywhere from 9 to 14 sport coats a year, you know, that they make for me. Mr. Sewell, he said, you dress for success. You dress for success. And he said, I want you to look nice. And from the time I got here at Auburn, I dressed for success.
We should all have the style of Terry Beasley.
I appreciate that very much. I mean, you know. And then it doesn't hurt that, you know, for 14, 15 years, I modeled in for Parisians and other department stores, right, and in New York and California and in these ads and things. Sure. And so it helps out to pick up a little trick trait there.
The relationship you had with Shug Jordan, his son, Ralph Jr., was on this podcast last fall, and it was fascinating for me to get to talk with the son of the man that I never had an opportunity to meet. All I hear are stories, and I see the wins and the impact that Shug Jordan had at Auburn and in this community and in this conference. You had a rather unique relationship with Coach Jordan, didn't you? How did that form?
Well, he was my buddy. He was my buddy. I considered him my buddy before I considered him my coach. And I would joke with him. You know, they'd send me over from the freshman team, like I said, to the scout team, and he'd tell me, just keep working, you know. And then all of a sudden, on the freshman team, they have to start playing me, and then two games I rushed for more than any one of the all of them added together had rushed for, you know. And so, you know, and then you start spring training out, and you start 10th on the list, and you end up pushing Mickey Zofko for starting position. Before it was all over, I came to play. But I used to joke with Coach Jordan along the way. He'd always clap when you'd run a touchdown or something in practice. And one day I ran out to the left, and the guy just cut me down. And Coach Jordan blew the whistle and come walking over there. And when Coach Jordan came walking, you stopped exactly where you were. You didn't go moving around and anything. You stopped. And he held up that left hand and he said, Terry, now that was a good run. That was a good run. But a great back would be tossing the ball to the official right now. Well, lo and behold, it wasn't. Four plays later, a similar situation happened, and I gave him a little hip and went into the end zone. It was about 25 yards out and tossed that ball to the official that day, and I run back, Coach Jordan is smiling, and he was glad. So he and I had he'd call me at the office, we'd talk, he'd want to know how my mother was. Yeah. And then many times I'd go over to his house and we'd sit down in the den and we'd talk about certain things and who was going to start at quarterback. David Lyons gets hurt in 72. He was our quarterback. And then he goes down the last day of spring training. Who's going to be the quarterback? And Coach Sheridan called me from Oxford to drive down and see him. I come down here to see him. I go to his house and we sit and talk about who he thought was going to be the quarterback. He said, we're going to put the cowbell on Randy Waltz, and that's what we're going to do. And can you work with him? I said, I can work with any of them.
You traveled with Coach Jordan, didn't you?
Many speaking engagements. Yeah. I mean, all the way from Mississippi to Monroeville to Atlanta to Pensacola to Childersburg to Huntsville to Clanton. He carried me along either for the looks or the humor. I mean, I'll tell you what Coach Jordan know, Andy. When he walked in a room, he controlled that room. Mm-hmm. Oh, he controlled that room. I mean, I can see him walking in there now. He was so polite to everyone, such a gentleman to everyone. He never forgot their names. He was so good with names. And when he would get up and speak, he would think that Miss Mildred in the lunchroom over here that made these delicious rolls, I just ate three of them, you know. And, you know, he was a Jack Benny type of speaker, right, in a way. I marveled at those days. Yeah. I marveled at the conversations that he and I'd have while traveling. And some of the funniest stories I can sit here till the sun falls today.
Who drove?
I did.
You were the driver?
I was the driver every time. I drove every time. We were going to Oxford. We were going to Oxford to see my brother because he was a high school All-American, right, play. And Coach Jordan, we had an open week, and I'd never got to see my brother play. And Coach Jordan called, Ms. Foster called me. Coach Jordan never called. Ms. Foster always called. And Ms. Foster said, Coach Jordan wants to see you. And, of course, I never knew what that call would be about. But anyway, I go over there, and he said, we're going to go see your brother play Friday night. He said, we're off and we're going to go see your brother play. He said, you and I. And I said, okay. So we're driving up through Lafayette, and he leans over looking at the speedometer. He said, you're speeding. I said, well, Dr. Wheeler will get us out of any ticket here we get in Lafayette, you know. And he said, well, let me remind you, Dr. Wheeler's in Europe right now. Oh, I can just tell stories all night long. Hmm. I mean, we could sit here forever.
We could, couldn't we?
Oh, listen, as many trips as I made with him, and the one thing he never talked about, Andy, he would never mention it. It was the storm in the beach at Normandy. He would never talk about that. And I told him one day, I said, you got to be one tough son of a gun to take a bullet and refuse care and keep on going forward. I said, you're pretty tough, wasn't you? Right. He said, not really.
He served in both theaters, yeah, too.
Yes. Hmm. Yeah.
It's fascinating.
He was a special guy to travel with. I'll tell you, this is a great story. This is a wonderful story. He and I coming back from, we'd been over to Monroeville speaking. Coming back, and we came through Selma late at night, and he was telling me about Huell Carter, somebody he grew up with who owned the drugstore. They owned the drugstore, and he said, they just make a killing at that drugstore. He said, you won't believe what Huell Carter's done now. He said, he bought a Kentucky Fried Chicken franchise. He said, he's going to make another killing. He said, look, there's the lights on it, and that's his building right there. He said, pull over there. We go, Coach Jordan goes up the door, and the door's locked, and he taps on the door, and Mr. Carter sees him, and he comes running over and lets Coach Jordan in. They motion for me to come in. We sat down to have pleasantries and everything. Coach Jordan said, you know, talked about how tight he was. He said, this man's so tight, he'd squeeze a buffalo nickel. I mean, he said, man, it smells good in here. He said, well, Shug, let me fix you a bucket of chicken to take with you. Coach Jordan said, that'd be great, you. So he got that bucket of chicken, and we got out in the car, and Coach Jordan set it in the back seat there. We're getting a little close to Montgomery over there, and Coach Jordan said, oh, that chicken smells good. He said, I'm going to give me a piece of it. And so we stopped the car, and he gets out of the four-door car, and he gets back in and has that bucket of chicken in, and he takes the lid off. We're driving down the road. And he just starts laughing. He just starts bellering out laughing. And I said, what's wrong? He said, that's the cheapest man alive. I said, what's wrong? He said, there ain't nothing but necks and backs in here. he was so special. He was so special.
War Eagle, it's a great day for Auburn Tigers to get vaccinated. Many children and adults that delayed vaccinations during the pandemic are still behind schedule. It's crucial that we take steps to get everyone back on track with their routine immunizations. Children and teens can still catch up on their vaccinations even if they start late. Make sure you and your family are all up to date on all recommended vaccines, including COVID-19 and flu. Let's all do our part to get back on track. Don't wait. Vaccinate. For more information, visit alabamapublichealth.gov/IMM.
Alabama Secretary of State Wes Allen reminds you that to vote in Alabama, voters are required to present a valid form of photo identification. To learn more or acquire a free voter ID, visit www.alabamavotes.gov.
You play at a time, an historic time at Auburn. First African-American scholarship player comes to campus, and it's James Owens. Tom Gossam comes to campus, becomes a scholarship player, and graduates from Auburn. What was that like? That time, that team, to see the change, to be part of that change?
Well, I went to an all-white high school. You know, in 69, nearly all of us that signed did. And then James comes in with our class. Now, I go back to the high school playoffs where James's high school team was playing Sachs High School in Anniston, and my friend, and I went to watch them play. And I'm sitting there watching Fairfield. I didn't know James Owens because, didn't know all these people.
Right.
And I'm sitting there watching them warm up, and here's this guy. He's the largest player on the field. He's wearing number 44. He's got a full cage. He's got these full arm pads on his arms. He's back here catching punts and running. I told Tony, I said, who in the world is that guy? And somebody behind me said, that's James Owens. You know, he committed to Auburn. I almost changed my mind when I heard, you know. But that was the first time I ever laid eyes on him.
Right.
And then to come to get to Auburn, Coach Jordan could never have signed a better human being than James Owens. James Owens was one of them. He was a courageous guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I talked to Jay Jacobs and him and gave him the Courage Award. I named it, you know, because he deserved that. He taught us a lot of things. James taught us how that color in athletics doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He was one of us, no matter where we went or when we played scavenger hunt and he was on the losing team, had to go up to the swimming pool in February to jump in the pool. Well, James couldn't swim. So James waded in the baby pool and put his head underwater in the baby pool and got out. But that was part of the team, team he wanted to be part of it.
How important in your mind now, and you can look back on it now, how important was it that Auburn, for Auburn, James Owens was that first black football player?
I don't think Coach Jordan gets enough credit for signing the first one. I think there's another school that basically claims they signed the first one. You know, well, that's not true. You know, we know that's not true. But it seems like that's what it is. Because James has sat here as a good Christian man, one hell of a football player, and just quietly went about his business. You know what I mean? Just quietly went about his business where maybe some other school it didn't go that way. Okay, they're just a little more recognized. James, I'm not forgetting, we used to wrestle. We used to wrestle in the winter workout. Well, when I was a sophomore, I was going into my sophomore year, was in that wrestling room, these pads, hot, golly, it was horrible in this room. And they said, oh, let's see who we're going to let the talker, you know, see who's going to put the talker here with today. I said, well, give me the meanest one in here. It doesn't make any difference to me. I'll whoop ever who you give me. They said, come on out here, James. And, well, you know, I weighed 160. I was 6 foot tall and 169 pounds. Here, James, oh, 212 and 6'4". Sound that whistle and clear that room. He had me on my back. And they were hollering at me to get up. And I said, well, I ain't going to waste my energy. But I said, when I get up, you get me one of those kickers over there. I'll whoop him.
You look back at your time at Auburn, at James Owens' time at Auburn, at Terry Beasley's and Pat Sullivan's time, Coach Jordan. I mean, I think back to the 80s, and that's a golden era of Auburn athletics with Bo and Frank and Charles. I mean, you come from a golden era of Auburn athletics as well. I mean, the stories, the lore, the names of the team, the Amazons. I mean, you don't hear that. You don't hear teams' names like that anymore. Terry, when you think back to that time, what does it mean to you that you were part of that time at Auburn?
Andy, I couldn't be blessed more than I've been blessed. I was born an Auburn guy. I'm going to pass away an Auburn guy. I hope not soon.
Me too.
Auburn means a lot to me. Auburn means, it always has. Even when I was a little boy riding around in the pickup truck with my granddaddy listening to Mr. Rutledge call the ball games, okay? It's meant a lot to me ever since those young days. Having the privilege to have a coach like Coach Jordan, having the privilege to have all the great teammates that I have, that I still stay in touch with today, that I send emails to them every month just about. I love those teammates. And it's a fraternity that you never forget. And I love those guys, and I hope they like me. And the other side of it, I'll never forget Buddy Davison. You know, what a guy. We go over there to play the opening game against Mississippi State my senior year. Coach Jordan gives us talk in the dressing room. We're going to beat them with five plays. And he's holding up his hand, left hand, five plays. That's what we're going to beat them with. Well, I ran four of them.
There you go.
Okay. So, man, we're going to run five. And so we was going out the door, and they all screaming and hollering, and I never got into that. And so we're going out the door there, and I said, we're going five tonight. Five. He said, five, Terry. I said, well, we only got eight. What are we saving them other three for, you know? And can I tell you, we went out there and we beat them 14-3. I carried the ball 33 times. We ran five plays.
There you go.
All night. Never fumbled.
Where are you in kick six?
I'm over here on my knees praying. The game is 60 minutes long. Game is 60 minutes long. You play the game 60 minutes. You don't quit, give up, or say we've got it now. You play the game 60 minutes. That's what I was taught to do. I was in the Nelson box with all of us. And now, what happened is, you know, Gus called timeout. They went back and lined up, and then they called timeout. And then that's when they put Chris back there at the back. And I turned to Bill Nelson and tell Bill Nelson, I said, we can run this back. He said, why is he back here? I said, we can run it back. We did not have somebody previously back there.
Right.
I said, well, my gosh, he can run this ball back. And boy, how right was I?
That play is the one play that is compared to punt, Bama, punt.
Correct.
More than anything else. All right. So you were in the Nelson Club for kick six. What about punt, Bama, punt?
pump up upon him over there sitting praying, you know. I mean, I used to stand pretty close to Coach Rendo and Coach Jordan, and those I very seldom ever sat down. And that first one, oh my goodness, you know, the place went crazy, and you really didn't know what happened. You didn't know who blocked it or the way it bounced or anything like that. You could see clearly from the sideline, but you know, just saw Langdon running in there with it. And oh, you know, and then for the second time for it to happen, oh my gosh, I'm telling you, I went running down there in that end zone, screaming and hollering and everything. And I invented me a dance that day. Yeah.
I can only imagine the elation, the jubilation that y'all must have felt that day against that really good Alabama team.
Oh, they were very good.
Yeah.
They were very good. I mean, I didn't gain enough yards that day to put a mobile home on. They stopped us at the one-yard line, which first time we've been stopped all year inside the 20. You know, we scored every time inside the 20 there that year. All the guys, the faces on those guys in that dressing room, the pictures you see that are still out there today, the cameraman making all, Les King making all those pictures in the dressing room. It's hard to ever get that out of your mind.
I hope you never do.
Oh, I'm telling you, I love it. I love it.
Thank you for telling your stories today. Thank you for letting me ask about Terry Beasley and James Owens and Pat Sullivan, Randy Walls and Terry Henley. I appreciate it. Thank you.
And Eve, thank you so much. War Eagle to you.
War Eagle.
For Terry Henley and the Talking Tigers podcast, brought to you by Alabama Public Health, I'm Andy Burcham. Be strong and be courageous. War Eagle.